I don't really have time to edit this. So
just go through.
Let's try and do it as cleanly as possible. If you fuck something up, just stop and I'll cut it here and now. What's up? This is Movies on Up, an entire universe once and for all. My all-time favorite podcast co-host, Mr. Dave Becella, is seated across from me.
Going live.
It's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up.
Movies on Up live.
An entire universe once and for all is our tagline this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, here's a hint. We're going to talk about it in just a couple minutes.
And next week.
And next week as well. Two hints for the price of one. Send your guests to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guests on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guests to us @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you, we will assemble a prize package and send it right over to you.
And it'll be yours for all of infinity?
Yeah, to infinity and beyond. How about that? There's a Pixar movie coming out this summer, which we're going to talk about this week because it is our annual summer preview.
Live.
Basically, I've got a ton of stuff to do this week, so I'm really not going to edit this too much.
Yeah, we're recording late. Lots of stuff going on. I feel like we're talking faster than normal. This is like a lightning round summer preview live. So,
live.
No edits.
This is our annual summer preview where we're going to roll down everything starting with the Avengers and go through, I think, the end of August.
I didn't want to. I was going to cut out August, but the Meg's in August, and I didn't want to go through this episode without talking about the Meg.
Because if we don't talk about it then, if not then, when?
I'll never talk about it.
Right, and nothing says blockbuster movie like a giant shark and Jason Statham. So I guess we've teased the bookends of the summer preview, and of course the first of which comes out this week, probably as you're listening to this now, it is out in theaters, playing somewhere. Someone is watching the Russo Brothers Avengers Infinity War, starring basically every person that's ever been in an Avengers movie to this point
in
time.
Or a movie,
exactly. 10 years and 18 movies in the making for the MCU leads up to this.
I bumped it up a week. It was going to be May 4th. I think the only question is how much money does this actually make?
Does it make more than Star Wars?
Does it make more than Black Panther, I think, is because Black Panther jumped up to third all time. Black Panther came out in March, though, so it had like 5 weeks at number one. There's people like, oh, it's crazy to think that this will make less than Black Panther. Logistically, like, I could see it. Does it make? I mean, I'm interested what it opens at. Yeah, it opens at 250, right? 275?
Yeah, I would think so. And I think a lot of those Black Panther fans that had just checked that movie out a couple months ago, maybe they're now MCU fans if they weren't before. So they may be more willing to check this out. It's not like T'Challa's not in this movie. A large portion of it, from what I've looked at the trailers, takes place in Wakanda. So I think that, you know, if the fans are excited from Black Panther, this is good momentum.
I like, that's just
not
where,
that this movie needs that.
That's where Marvel is right now. Whereas a DC movie comes out and it's like, oh, is this the movie that finally makes them kill the DCEU and start from scratch? With Marvel, it's like, oh, will this be the highest grossing movie of all time, or will it only crack the top three?
Time will tell, but that's, you know, first world problems for Marvel.
We rarely do like episodes of movies that are current. Next week we're actually doing the Avengers because we figured everybody will see it by then.
Everybody will see it. We're going to see it, which is another reason for essentially doing this live this week, because I don't have another day to edit. So I apologize for the ifs, the ums, the ands.
And my breathing.
And kicking the mic stand. You know, that's just going to have to stay in there. As I mentioned, Avengers is really the only wide release coming out this week, and for a good reason. Nobody really wants to tangle with that beast. Next week, the movies that are coming out, May 4th, Bad Samaritan, directed by Dean Devlin, starring David Tennant, Carrie Condon, and Robert Sheehan. A couple dudes break into a house to rob it, but they end up finding a girl held captive from the producer of blockbusters like Independence Day and the director of failed blockbusters like Geostorm.
Sounds similar to Don't Breathe, which I liked. I like David Tennant, but eh.
Yeah, I mean, in this,
this whole week is just kind of like, yeah, it's counter-programming, I guess, but
yeah, or just watch Avengers again. Yeah. Also, this week, pushed back from a couple weeks ago when we did our amnesia list or whatever crazy list we came up with for the remake of Overboard, directed by Bob Fisher and Rob Greenberg, starring Anna Faris, Eva Longoria, and Eugenio Debras. As I said, it's a remake of the Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn joint about someone rich getting amnesia and being tricked into thinking they're married to someone that's poor.
It's no less rapey when you gender swap it. Like, it's still a pretty rapey premise.
It is. But I don't think that there's a real hunger for this movie.
No.
I don't know that there's a hunger for an Anna Faris vehicle. None of it makes sense to me other than it's like
we've
a summertime
gone,
comedy.
Yeah, we've kind of gone, what's the word I'm looking for, with sequels, where we've had too many and we've kind of gone too far. Yeah, over the edge,
we've jumped
maybe.
The shark with sequels?
Yes, yes. We've fallen off the side of the boat with sequels,
yes.
Maybe. Or with remakes. I don't care.
Yeah, reboots. We do have an original movie directed by Jason Reitman, Tully, starring Charlize Theron, Mackenzie Davis, Mark Duplass, Ron Livingston. Reitman directs another script from Diablo Cody, this time about Theron forming a special bond with a night nurse played by Davis, whom you'll recognize from all your favorite nerd shit recently.
She's one of those that I'm surprised she's not huge because she's in everything.
Yes.
And it's going to be a weird comparison. Her career right now reminds me of like Christopher Mintz Pass when he first came out as McLovin, because everything he was in for like years.
He's playing McLovin in.
He was awesome. Like he was in like Superbad, Role Models, How to Train Your Dragon. Like
Kick
everything
ass.
He was in was like really, really good. And it was like, oh, you're being really picky about what you pick. And he's like, yeah, I live with my parents. I don't have to. And then, like, I feel like she's in that kind of scenario where everything she's doing are just really, really good choices.
And this is certainly a bigger role for her than she's had in the movies, like The Martian. She had a bit part in that. And she was good, but this is certainly...
she did 4 seasons on TV with Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, but at least on the big screen, this is the biggest role that I can recall seeing her in. So hopefully that'll help her break in, so to speak. Breaking In premieres in theaters on May 11th, directed by James McTeague, starring Gabrielle Union, who puts on her ass-kicking boots to protect her family during a home invasion.
I feel like this year we're getting like...
This month, you're going to be scared to stay at your home. Somebody's coming in.
I mean, like, between this and Proud Mary and that Halle Berry kidnapped movie...
Atomic
and that
Blonde
Traffic,
last year.
I'm talking, like, not just female kick-ass, like... Black female kick-ass roles. We're getting a lot this year already, it seems. And, like, I'm all for more female action movies. I'm all for more black. Like, just bring it on. Give more.
Black action movies?
Everything. Get everything out there.
We may have one coming up later in the summer.
We do.
That's a little tease for you. A movie that I guess could be a genre to itself is the Ben Falcone, Melissa McCarthy movie. We do have one of those this week with Life of the Party, also starring Debbie Ryan, Julie Bowen, and Gillian Jacobs. McCarthy co-wrote and is directed again by her husband as she goes back to college with her daughter.
These are the pay-the-bill movies for McCarthy. She knows what works. Like, this and The Boss, like, there's nothing special about them. I enjoy her. I'm sure I'll laugh at this. But, like, she's got the one coming out later in the year that's a drama. And then later in the summer, she's got the puppet movie, which these are what people want to see. And these let her do puppet murder movies and those other stuff. So I'm fine. I like Melissa McCarthy. I'm a stan. I'll defend her career up and down. And the people that say she plays the same thing and everything, they only see these movies of
right.
hers.
She makes those movies for fans of that particular character, and then she makes movies she wants to make. And you can do that when you're a giant movie star. On May 18th, we've got a movie featuring a couple, I would say, giant movie stars, ladies specifically, and they are the stars of Bill Holderman's Book Club. Those stars, Diane Keaton and Jane Fonda, along with Candace Bergen and Mary Steenburgen, who's basically in everything as well. Old ladies get together to form a book club and get inspired, so to speak, by 50 Shades of Grey to gray up their life.
Ryan went off script.
I
the
did.
Summary of this movie is just old ladies jerk off to 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that's Dave's summary.
I wrote that.
That's not from the official IMDb page. It's not the tagline for that movie, I don't think.
It feels like this movie's a few years late. Like, I feel like people don't even care about 50 Shades anymore. I feel like people forget that the third one even just came out like 3 months ago.
I do think that moment has passed.
Yeah.
For sure. But a guy that might have written a jerk-off joke will be the star in a... It can't be any more counter-programming. You've got old ladies over here...
jerking off to 50 Shades.
Yeah, and then you've got a costume superhero jerking off right across
about
the hall.
How funny they are.
Exactly. Deadpool 2 is the comic superhero jerking off. That's David Lech's Deadpool 2, starring Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, Morena Baccarin's back, Josh Brolin, Rob Delaney, Brianna Hillenbrand, Terry Crews. The Merc with a Mouth returns to crack more jokes and create a backdoor pilot for future X-Force movies.
That's all it looks like. It just looks like it's setting up X-Force movies and just patting itself on the back for being so funny.
Which is fine.
Domino looks cool. Like, yeah. I'll see it. I liked the first Deadpool. I'm not nuts about it like a lot of people are. So, like, I'll see this, but it's not at the top of my list.
Maybe there are a lot of good superhero movies. I'll leave it at that this summer. I think that's going to be a good one. By no stretch of the imagination, I think is Deadpool 2 going to end up being a dog. That could maybe not be said for our last wide release that week, and it is Raja Gosnell's Show Dogs, starring Will Arnett, somehow, Alan Cumming, and Stanley Tucci. Arnett, who is hopefully by this time off the hook from his bookie, and his talking dog partner to go undercover at a dog show to try and show the world that maybe we can actually hit a lower point than Boss Baby.
Boss Baby's an absurd, off-the-wall movie. Like, it's not just... It's like
this is coming from a man who's seen it.
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen bits and pieces. My kids love it. The premise is just, hey, it's a baby in a suit. But the movie is bonkers. Like, it's insane. Like, there's just crazy space-time continuum stuff going on in this movie. Show Dogs looks like it's that kind of ridiculous, where it's just, it's talking dogs. It's basically Miss Congeniality with dogs and Will Arnett.
Truer words have never been spoken. We've got one movie coming out on May the 25th, and that is Ron Howard's, or maybe Lord Miller's, Solo, A Star Wars Story, starring Donald Glover and a cast which has been chosen to back him up, Lando and the Landettes. It is the Lando origin story we deserve, hidden inside a Han Solo origin story that no one asked for, that will kick off a Solo trilogy that you didn't even know you were going to get.
You know what? I'm not anti this movie. I've never have been. I think Glover's...
It's a very snarky summary for someone who's not anti it.
I'm not anti it. I think Glover's going to be really good. I think the supporting cast is going to be really good. I have concerns about Alden Ehrenreich. He doesn't look like he'll be bad, but he doesn't look like he should be carrying a franchise. I'm hoping he's okay, but I'll see it. I mean, it's a Star Wars movie.
It is a Star Wars movie.
I will not see it.
Right. And whether he's good or bad, he let it slip this week that he was signed on for two more movies.
Ron Howard doing a Star Wars movie, I'm kind of into that, even though I was into Lord Miller doing a Star Wars movie as well. But, like, I don't know. There's a lot about this that I could hate, but there's a lot about it that I don't. So I'm excited for it.
I think you've got me sold on it, Dave. I'll go see it. What the hell? That'll wrap up May. We'll turn into June. June 1st, Action Point, directed by Tim Kirkby, starring Johnny Knoxville, because apparently there's still an audience for the Jackass guys and their Jackass stuff. This would be for that audience.
This trailer plays before pretty much every movie that's come out in the last 2 months, and I didn't know anything about it until seeing the trailer, because I don't care.
This is like a dramedy version of Jackass, right?
It's like a Jackass version of Adventureland.
It's not real life like we're used to. It's art imitating real life.
Like The Dictator from Sacha Baron Cohen, where it's not Borat or Bruno. It's like them doing their thing in a narrative form.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, is narrative. But I guess my mind was adrift in other matters.
Boo.
Maybe lost at sea.
When it's live, you can keep in the booze.
Yeah, I guess I will have to. Adrift, directed by Baltazar Kolkmar, starring Shailene Woodley and Sam Claflin. Two teens fall in love, then float away on a boat, and then get hit by a hurricane, and then try to live happily ever after, or at least live. All of that from the director, who certainly has a bit of a fixation directing movies about the water, both the sea and the deep.
Shailene Woodley's fine, but me being nuts about Shailene Woodley and thinking she's like this next megastar, I think that ship is... sailed and
crashed,
been hit by a hurricane.
Yeah, right.
Also this week, I forgot to put it on there. Upgrade, written and directed by Lee Wannell, starring fake Tom Hardy. Looks way better than the real Tom Hardy movie that comes out later in the year. So Upgrade will be my choice.
Upgrade over Venom?
Yeah, over everything this week. It's only in limited, though. And I left off most limited, except for a couple.
Fair enough. And then we'll head to the 8th. We got two movies, and we'll start with Ocean's 8, directed by Gary Ross, starring Sandy Bullock, Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna, Sarah Paulson, Awkwafina, Helena Bonham Carter, James Corden. Yeah, let that sink in. Debbie Ocean and her crew of ladies try and pull off a heist at a big-time fashion show because in an era of women's empowerment, of course they're going to knock off a fashion show.
I like this cast. I really like this cast. I mean, Sandy Bullock does her thing, but I love Mindy is this like movie star now between this and A Wrinkle in Time. I really like Awkwafina. She's been popping up in a lot lately. Like, she's just fun on screen. Like, I think she's one of the smaller roles, but I don't know. I like the first Ocean's movie.
Heist movies are fun.
Yeah. Like, I'll see it.
Also in wide release that week is Ari Aster's Hereditary, starring Toni Collette, Gabriel Byrne, Alex Wolff, and Anne Dowd. A death in the family begins to reveal terrifying secrets about their ancestry and the fate they have inherited. We like Collette leading spooky movies. Check out our Krampus episode where we said how well she did there. I'm excited to see her do this again.
This, I think, is going to be the
sleeper,
the breakout horror movie of the summer. Usually it's, you know, one from the Wannaverse where it's an Insidious or something, an offshoot of that. This looks legit. It's got a really good trailer.
Really good cast.
It did really good at festivals. Like, it looks like it's going to be... And it's in a good spot to where, I mean, we've proven over the past few years that horror movies can make money in the summer. I think this is that one that just kind of breaks out.
And it's tough to tell so early on as we're recording this. You got to take the audience scores for what they are. But at least at this point, the critic scores, everything, they are incredible. Which brings us to June 15th and Brad Bird's The Incredibles 2, starring Coach Samuel L. Jackson and Holly Hunter. Mr. Incredible needs to play Mr. Dad to their super baby while his super wife is out saving the world in this long anticipated sequel to The Incredibles, if in case you had forgotten, from 14 years ago. And I couldn't blame you for forgetting. Fantasia, FYI, went 59 years between the original in 1940 and Fantasia 2000. So, hey, it could have been worse. Disney has a track record for making you wait a long time.
It's just weird because this one takes place like seconds after the first one. So that's, but who cares? I like the first one. It's up there. It's probably top five Pixar movies for me, maybe top three.
I think it's the most underrated easily.
I think so. I think more people are coming out of the woodworks now that this is coming out. Like, I feel like it was almost kind of forgotten. And then now this, it's like, oh, people are like, oh, yeah, that one's really good. It's one you don't hear about a ton.
If it causes more people to go back and watch the original, if they haven't seen it in a while or just skipped it when it was out, especially now with the superhero movies that are so pervasive everywhere. You know, this one was 14 years ago. So it was really before that Marvel boom hit. And now the people that wouldn't maybe necessarily have cared about a cartoon
superhero
movie. Or the kids
that have grown up on Marvel movies.
That's true,
like,
yeah.
Like, we'll go back.
Yeah, I think they'll dig this for sure. Something the kids may not dig is Director X's Superfly. Director X may confuse you. You may know him when he was Little X, but now.
Or First Assistant Director X.
Nonetheless, Director X is helming the reboot of Superfly, this time starring Trevor Jackson, Jason Mitchell, and Michael Kenneth Williams. The 70s blaxploitation film gets a modern update, which I feel like if you take Superfly out of the 1970s, you don't have Superfly.
And it might not be a modern. I don't know. I don't know if it takes place. I didn't look into it.
I don't know, but that movie was so...
70s.
Yes.
It's very 70s.
And why does anybody want to watch... Even if they do a shot-for-shot remake and leave the wah-wah guitar in there and all that, why is... People don't want that now. Just go back and watch the damn original.
Yeah, I mean...
Which does have a dope soundtrack. Holy man.
Yeah, that's the thing. This could be good, but I don't... I have trouble trusting... I'm not driving the Director X train.
No. That does sound like a blind taste test. Like, you can have Ron Howard direct this or Director X. And X marks the spot, I guess, this time. And it's a bad spot you're going to want to stay away from. Also in wide release that week is Jeff Tomsic's Tag, starring John Hamm, Jeremy Renner, Ed Helms, Hannibal Buress, Jake Johnson, Isla Fisher, Rashida Jones. Almost everyone in moviedom that we love finds their way into this movie. Amazing cast, maybe not as an amazing of a premise. A lifelong group of friends play an ongoing game of tag every year and probably learn a lot about life and a little about themselves while trying not to be it.
Based on a true story, because the advertising and marketing won't let you forget that. It's just, it bums me out when you get cast this good for movies that look this bad, because
everyone has to eat.
Well,
and you're reminded of that.
The cast at least makes me like, I'll watch it when it comes on like cable and stuff, but I don't want to, and then I'll just get angry and I'll be bummed that I wasted that time.
When you could have been wasting time watching something else.
Yeah.
Fair enough. A lot of people are going to be wasting their time in the theaters on June 22nd, checking out J.A. Bayona's Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, starring Bryce Dallas Howard, Chris Pratt, Jeff Goldblum's back, as well as Justice Smith. More dinosaurs, more bad decisions, lots more money, less high heels, however.
I think this will be good. I have high hopes for this. I think this.
You like the first one, though, right? The last Jurassic World?
No.
It's not the first one. You didn't? Okay.
Well,
I didn't either.
Here's the thing. It's not a good movie. It's very watchable. Like, it's a very watchable bad movie.
It's a blockbuster.
Yeah. Like, it's not good. Like, you watch it from beginning to end, and it's like, oh, that there's a lot wrong with this. But something.
Jurassic Park, good movie.
Yeah, but something about it's very appealing. So, like, I've seen Jurassic World a ton of times without actually liking it. So I'm interested to see what Bayona does. I think this will be really, really good. I don't know. I can't sum up my feelings about Jurassic World. Like, it's not a good movie, but I'll watch it if it's on. Just something about it is just extremely watchable.
I think people our age are always going to watch a Jurassic Park movie. Chris Pratt is a good reason to watch just about anything. He does tend to elevate stuff. And after having seen the last one and not really liking it, my expectations for this are very low.
Yeah. I mean, this will make less than Jurassic World, I think. I think it'll be a much better movie, but I think it'll make less. But I think it'll be good.
Apparently like The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
One limited release that week that we'd like to talk about, and it is David Robert Mitchell's Under the Silver Lake, starring Andrew Garfield, Riley Keough, Jimmy Simpson, and Topher Grace. The McAvoy turn for Garfield continues as he stars in the follow-ups to Mitchell's solid debut that sees Garfield become obsessed with solving a kidnapping and murder.
It's the director of It Follows doing like a trippy acid noir movie.
Starring Spider-Man.
I'm into it. Like, I'm not a Garfield fan, but
I know.
I'll see
but
this.
You will be.
I'm excited to see this. Like, it looks great. Like, it looks very. It looks like what I wanted Brick to be, maybe.
Fair enough. But instead of doing Brick that week for the podcast, we're going to be doing It Follows. So you've got that to look forward to. I would imagine, right? We're doing It Follows this summer. Why else would we be doing it? Breaking news.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You're the one that wrote it.
Yep.
Speaking of sequels, we had one in Jurassic World June 22nd. June 29th, another sequel. The Sicario sequel, Sicario, Day of the Soldado, directed by Stefano Salima, starring Josh Brolin, Benicio Del Toro, and Catherine Keener. Brolin's federal agent reunites with Del Toro's mercenary to combat the cartels bringing drugs into the States, which I think is kind of the plot of the first one, isn't it?
A little bit. This one, they kind of go nuts and they go with no rules, and then I think they go against each other. I don't know. It's written by Taylor Sheridan again, who wrote the first one. I think Sicario is a really, really good movie. Taylor Sheridan has had a run with Sicario. I thought Wind River was terribly underrated. Hell or High Water, he got a lot of love for, which I think was the weaker of the three. I'll see it because he's writing it, but Emily Blunt brought so much to that. But her story's done, so I understand her not being back for the sequel. There needs to be something else there. I don't know if Del Toro and Brolin head-to-head will be enough to make it as compelling as the first one, but you'll get a lot of drug killing. Like, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good for Del Toro. Like, I think Del Toro will be really good. Like, they want him to kill this girl. He won't. It looks like a perfect world, kind of, with Del Toro and this girl. I don't know. I'll see it because I really like Sicario.
A movie that I'm not going to see. I've drawn a line in the sand. That line was drawn last year, probably about that time. That is the Uncle Drew movie. Unless something happens to the film before it makes it to the theater and then it can't make its release date. Starring some guy, Nate Robinson, Shaquille O'Neal, Reggie Miller, Chris Webber, Tiffany Haddish is in there.
Tiffany Haddish.
I feel like they just CGI'd her in after, like, oh, shit, she's popular. Maybe
Nick Kroll's got to eat.
Yeah, and maybe nobody else. Maybe Nate Robinson's not putting butts in seats. So let's add in Tiffany Haddish, who's a bankable star. This is a commercial pretending to be a feature-length movie where some basketball players pretend to be actors and older basketball players.
Like, I don't know how this is fake.
How there's a narrative to this?
Like, I'm still waiting for the Crocodile Dundee, the
tourism spot, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm still waiting for the Danny McBride Crocodile Dundee, like, oh, this isn't real. Like, I'm still waiting for that, for this. And we're a couple months away from the release date, and I don't think it's going to come.
No.
This is a real movie.
Yes.
It's real. This is actually happening. This is going to be on big screens that people are going to pay and go see.
I will say this. When this movie was announced, Uncle Drew still played for the Cavs, and I was really wrestling with...
He was traded during the filming of
this. Yeah. I was like, how am I going to go sit through this? Fortunately, they solved that problem.
Because I read something from Lil Rel Howery about how he was on set the day Kyrie got traded and just like his demeanor and stuff. And it was fascinating. But I don't understand how this cool idea for a premise. I would rather a LeBron's movie. You know,
yeah.
I would rather a movie where LeBron's playing five different roles because those commercials were better than Uncle Drew. Like, Uncle Drew's a cool premise, but not for a movie.
No, and Kyrie Irving is not a captivating dude.
No.
LeBron
is.
He's
very boring. Yeah.
Yeah. So that movie could fall flat.
I feel like this is going to be a lot of Shaq and Reggie overdoing it to try to make up for everything else.
For Kyrie underdoing it.
Yeah, because those two dudes think they're very talented. And they are on the court.
Not a lot of fireworks for the Uncle Drew movie, but... After you see the fireworks on July 4th, stop by your local multiplex and check out The First Purge, directed by Gerald McMurray, starring Marissa Tomei making her Purge debut.
She creates
good
it.
For her. Yeah, she does, along with Melanie Diaz. Another Purge movie, this time a Purge prequel about the first Purge. I just feel like now they're going out of their way to not use your idea of, okay, here's a bunch of different stories from one particular Purge night. Why do we need to see the history? I don't care. That was what was so good about the first one.
The original director, this is the first one he's not directing, but he did write it. I don't know. The Purge movies have... He took this premise that could just be dumb, one-off horror movies, and he turned them into these political commentaries that I'm okay with. And I mean, this one, it's the government...
Going
undercover as civilians just to start the purging. I'm not going to rush out to see it. I'll see it when it hits cable, and I'll probably enjoy it because they're watchable movies. I don't like the first one. The second two are okay. They're watchable.
Yeah, I just wonder, things like this, like how long you can support the government narrative before it's just like, all right, this is just a...
He wants to make a TV show. To where it leads up to the purge, to where you have you have different people and you see their backstory on why they want to purge.
Okay.
Like, he's got all sorts of ideas, and it's like, I respect the ambition there to not just make them dumb one-off things. Like, I respect the world building and stuff, but how much do we need?
Do we need a 20th Marvel movie? Absolutely we do, because we're going to get one on July 6th when Peyton Reed comes back with Ant-Man and the Wasp, starring Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer, Hannah John Kamen, Judy Greer, Michael Pena. Scott Lang is joined by a now suited up Hope Van Dyne to try and find the long lost Janet Van Dyne.
I'm excited for this. I think Ant-Man is... low-key like one of my favorite Marvel movies. Like, when I think of like ones that I want to rewatch and ones that I've enjoyed, like, this is in the top probably four or five for me, mostly because I love Paul Rudd and I like the small aspect of it.
No pun intended.
Yeah the internal it's weird, it's a rough spot, it's hard to follow up. You know,
the biggest Marvel movie of all time. Again, no pun intended, but you're coming off Black Panther, which was a giant, massive success. Avengers is going to be as big or maybe bigger success. And then you have Ant-Man, which is, you know.
Like, I'm surprised this isn't like a November release, like to give
it some time.
Give it time to breathe. Like, I'm excited I get to see it sooner, but I think it'd make more sense in that like Thor spot in November, but. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. one limited release that week to speak about, and it is Sorry to Bother You, directed by Boots Riley, starring Lakeith Stanfield, Tessa Thompson, who's in everything now, but good for her because she's great in everything, Armie Hammer, David Cross, Stephen Yeun, Danny Glover. The Coup frontman writes and directs an insane story about Stanfield's telemarketer finding his white voice and opening up a whole new world.
I cannot wait for this. It looks bonkers. Like, it looks... No, I love The Coup as a rap group. I love them. I love Stanfield. I think he's going to be this massive, massive star. Like, I think he is just so compelling on screen. I think he's fascinating to watch, and this looks like it gives him a lot to do while he learns how to speak like David Cross to move up the ranks of telemarketing. It just looks like a bonkers out there movie, and I cannot wait.
It looks fun. He is good. I thought, I didn't love Death Note the way you did, but I thought he was one of
he's
the better parts of that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. July 13th, prime vacation season, we get Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation, directed by Genndy Tartakovsky, starring Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez, Steve Buscemi. Dracula goes on a luxury cruise, I guess leaving the Hotel Transylvania behind, but bringing the name with it.
I guess Selena Gomez tries to give him a vacation since his whole life is dedicated to giving other people vacations or something. I don't know.
That's giving back. It's a premise I'll buy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see the movie.
No, I'm not either.
No chance in hell. Also out that week is Ross and Marshall Thurber's Skyscraper, starring The Rock and other people. The Rock.
Paul Schreiber seems like he's in like everything now too.
Nev Campbell making a little bit of a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is The Rock. In, I say, the last probably 6 months, Jumanji was a giant hit with The Rock. I don't think people really saw that coming. Rampage has done much better than I thought it was going to do.
Massive overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Massive overseas moneymaker.
Yeah, and I believe this will be too. At this point, you put The Rock in any given situation, and people are going to watch it because he's pretty freaking likable. This time, he's got one leg and gets framed for setting a skyscraper on fire. If that's not bad enough, he must rescue his family, clear his name, all thousands of feet high on the air with one leg, and because it's The Rock, we think he'll probably be able to do it.
It's got a Die Hard kind of feel. Like, it's just, he's the security expert. It's this fascinating, like, Gremlins 2 type skyscraper. It'll be nuts. It's a departure for Ross and Marshall Thurber. His comedies have had action feels to him. Like, he's the We're the Millers guy. This looks way more action than comedy, so I'm interested to see how that change goes.
But with The Rock, you know.
And he did Central Intelligence, which was, you know, equal.
Action comedy.
Yeah, so this is more action. I mean, I'll watch The Rock in almost anything. In this movie, this is a MoviePass movie. Like, this is the epitome of a MoviePass movie, I think.
I was
like,
thinking second at a drive-in.
Yeah, which I think are very similar
yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly,
because
we're watching it for free. If I see Ant-Man and the Wasp and then Skyscraper, that's a good night for me.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of bad guys having bad nights on July 20th when Denzel Washington makes his first sequel, and he picked an interesting one, and it was The Equalizer 2. Antoine Fuqua back as well. Pedro Pascal, Bull Pullman, and Melissa Leo also star as Denzel returns as Robert McCall to kick even more ass.
Pedro Pascal is another one that I feel like is in everything, because I think Pedro and Pascal and Pablo Schreiber are the same dude. Like, I don't know that I know the difference between them, but they're both in everything. I really like The Equalizer. I think The Equalizer is criminally underrated. It's Denzel kicking ass. It was a good movie. Like, it wasn't just an action movie. It was a Denzel
action movie. A
needless
reboot of
an
older property.
Denzel made it his own. I thought it was really, really
good. And things weren't equalized after the first time.
No, there's more equalizing to do. There's always more equalizing to do. So I like it. I think Fuqua and Denzel work very, very well together. Fuqua, he's really good with these type of movies. Denzel's really good with these type of roles, you know, because they're a role. Like, Denzel's good at everything. I'm excited for it. I really like The Equalizer. I think it's super underrated.
If you don't like The Equalizer, we've got some counter-programming for you in the form of Al Parker's Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, starring Amanda Seyfried, Meryl Streep, Lily James, Pierce Brosnan. As the title says, here they go again.
Luckily, I like The Equalizer.
Did they not find the dad the first time? I thought they did, But I don't know.
This is a prequel-ish. Not a prequel-ish. It's the one. I think this is Meryl Streep telling Amanda Seyfried about how young her met young other guy. Maybe Colin Firth? I don't know. And it's
or
like,
Pierce Brosnan.
And they sing
Who
more
knows?
ABBA songs.
Sounds good.
No, it doesn't.
No, it really doesn't. Limited release that week is Carlos Lopez Estrada's Blind Spotting, starring David Diggs, Rafael Casal, Ayana Gavanskar, and Ethan Embry. Lifelong friends Diggs and Casal co-wrote this story that sees them play lifelong friends as Diggs tries to get through his final days of probation only to have that put in jeopardy when he witnesses a police shooting.
I like David Diggs. I think he's one of those that's poised to be like an awesome, massive star. This looks heavy, like, and it looks timely, like it looks like it's something that is relevant, unfortunately, but
not that the subject matter, or at least not that the stories are similar, but it reminds me a little bit of Detroit from last year, like very timely and a movie that's probably going to be very good, but it's going to be a hard watch.
Like Fruitvale Station.
Yeah. Years before that. What at least the two of those movies that we've seen all had in common was they really had very strong performances by their leads. And I think Diggs is a guy that can fill that role for this movie for sure. July 27th, we've got some lighter fare, more what you're used to in the summer. And that would be a Mission Impossible movie. This time it's Christopher McQuarrie's Mission Impossible Fallout, starring Tom Cruise, Rebecca Ferguson, Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, and Henry Cavill's mustache. Another impossible mission that goes almost impossibly wrong, but still manages to get accomplished. This time, he rides on a helicopter and break his arm or something, jumping into a building. I don't know. Tom Cruise is a crazy man.
I'll see it. Like, they're watchable movies. Like, they're
summer movies.
Yeah. These and those Jack Reacher, like, Tom Cruise is at that point where, like, I'll watch these kind of movies with him. Like, I'll watch a Mission Impossible, a Jack Reacher, like, whatever. He misstepped last year with The Mummy, but like, I'm glad to have him back to like this.
Yeah, to Mission Impossible. Ethan Hunt, welcome back. Also that week, another
superhero movie.
Another animated superhero movie. This time it's Teen Titans Go to the Movies, directed by Aaron Horvath and Peter Rita McCall, starring Tara Strong, Kerry Payton, Greg Sipes, Scott Menville, Hayden Walsh. The Teen Titans head to Hollywood in hopes of getting their own movie, only to get sidetracked by a supervillain looking to take over the world, and they're going to get DC is phenomenal. Not only are they just getting their brains beat in by Marvel live-action-wise, they're going to release and get beat up by Disney in the animated superhero world by The Incredibles.
I like Teen Titans Go. I think it's ridiculous and it's silly, and maybe they were bigger a couple years ago. But you know what? The Simpsons movie came out at a time when I don't think they were at their peak, and True. It was good. The cast, the voice, like, I really like Teen Titans Go. I'm a sucker for it. I can't wait to take the kids. It's going to be silly. It's going to be goofy. I'm really, really excited for it.
Will be certainly no shortage of superhero movies to take the kids to. Just going to be going about every week or so, every couple weeks at least. Which will bring us down the home stretch to August, flip the calendar to our last month that we're going to go over, and we'll start it off with Jennifer U. Nelson's The Darkest Minds, starring Mandy Moore, Captain Phasma, Gwendolyn Christie, Amanda Steenberg. A group of powered teens group up to fight the adult who has imprisoned them. Another superhero movie.
It's pretty much, it's one of those that's trying to build the next like Hunger Games, but I don't know that it's based off a book. I don't know. It looks like it's trying to build that next young adult franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we've been kind of missing that. You know, the Divergent kind of fell off a cliff. I don't think
they didn't even finish Divergent.
Right. Maze Runner, I don't think quite
it
reached.
Limped to the finish line.
Yeah. So there has been a bit of a dearth of those particular movies. But hey, I mean, we've got a superhero movie every 3 weeks. So what do you need anything else for? We are going to get something else in the form of Mark Foster's Christopher Robin, starring Ewan McGregor, Haley Atwell, Chris O'Dowd, and Jim Cummings, a couple of people that are no strangers to playing superheroes themselves. A grown-up Christopher Robin reunites with Winnie the Pooh to find joy in this miserable existence.
Basically Hook, but with Winnie the Pooh. It's grown-up Christopher Robin hanging out with Pooh and the gang.
But I'm down to watch Ewan do just about anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rush out to see this movie. I'm not going to make any attempt to actually see it. But if it's on, I'll watch it because I like Ewan. I feel like a movie that could be a guilty pleasure, or at least a genre of movies that could become a guilty pleasure, is the Peter Berg, Mark Wahlberg marriage movies. And we've got one coming out on the 3rd. It's Mile 22. I'll get to it. Starring Mark Wahlberg, Lauren Cohen, and newly minted WWE Ronda Rousey. The Berg-Wahlberg or Wahlberg bromance continues in this story of a top-secret tactical unit trying to smuggle a police officer with too much information out of the country.
I believe this is their first one that's not a true story. Like, it looks like.
Do you know this isn't a true story?
I have no
idea. It's top secret, Dave.
Yeah. This looks like it's, or seems like it's just more of them going straight up action route.
Yeah, I don't think Ronda Rousey is going to be capable of carrying too much other than action. And that's fine. That was a thing that I think people always thought she would do once she got done with UFC is Gina Carano did it. So why not Ronda Rousey? And so there she is in the Wahlberg movie, searching for fame in the silver screen. Which brings us to Anish Chantegrie's Searching, starring John Cho, Deborah Messing, and Joseph Lee. A dude's daughter goes missing, so he uses her laptop to look for clues.
Fuck it, we're
this
going
movie
live.
That takes place entirely on a computer screen.
John
Premise Cho. Sounds cool. It's gonna not.
John
not
Cho deserves so much better. John Cho is. He should be a bigger star. He should have better roles. It's disappointing that he doesn't.
This is a movie that I think could be cool.
I've seen it.
Like it's gimmicky. I will give you that. But I think it could be done well. I don't think it will.
No.
So I'm perfectly okay.
I think I've seen this premise done so many times, like poorly, that I just don't know how it could be.
Yeah, I mean,
poorly.
It's kind of like a knockoff version of found footage.
Yeah.
As gimmicky as that can be. Rounding out the week is Susanna Fogel's The Spy Who Dumped Me, starring Mila Kunis, Kate McKinnon, Gillian Anderson, and Justin Theroux. Kunis discovers that her ex-boyfriend was a spy, which throws her and her best friend McKinnon into the middle of an international conspiracy. I'm fine to see Kate McKinnon do stuff.
Yeah, she's making not great decisions. She's the anti-Mackenzie Davis right now, where like she's being in some bad movies and Ghostbusters, which I liked. But, I mean, get her out there. Get her in more movies. This looks like a dumb watch. Like, this is one that when it's on cable, I'll watch. I'll probably laugh a couple times. Like, Kunis is decently good at comedy.
Yeah, she's got some good timing. And starring opposite someone like McKinnon, that's going to make you better because she's, that capable. So I do think that there'll be some laughs in it. I'm not saying that it's going to be
even just the trailer
like
has a
spy
couple,
or anything
yeah
of that
I don't expect
ilk,
it to be
but,
good but I mean the trailer has some decent laughs in it.
Yeah. On August 10th we'll lead off with AXL, directed by Oliver Daly, starring Lucy Hale, Chloe Bridges, Becky G, and Alex Neustetter. A teen boy encounters some sweet military tech voiced by the sweet Lucy Hale.
Yeah
I
mean it's a movie. I don't know anything about it. It might be cool, but I doubt it. August is
the dog days, very specifically. Directed by Ken Marino, starring Nina Dobrev, Finn Wolfhard, Vanessa Hudgens, Eva Longoria, Thomas Lennon, Lauren Lapkus. A group of people are brought together by their dogs, and that sounds like a Ken Marino joke, and I wish it were. I wish this was not a drama. Ken Marino's so funny. And some of these people, Thomas Lennon, Lauren Lapkus,
but
that makes you think
it's
comedy.
It's written by his wife, Ken Marino's wife, and it doesn't sound like anything I'd be interested in, like
no.
On the surface, but that cast, Marino directing, Oyama writing, like, I'll check it out. I'm not rushing out.
No.
Especially not that week.
Because we have bigger fish to fry
that week.
There's
something else to dive into.
Yes, and that's John Turtletub's The Meg, starring Jason Statham, Ruby Rose, Bing Bing Lee, Rainn Wilson, Cliff Curtis, and one giant fucking shark.
I cannot wait for this movie. It's going to be so terribly bad, and I'm going to so unashamedly love every second of it.
It's MoviePass at its finest.
Oh, yeah, like three times. It's like three days of MoviePass in a row. It's like Deep Blue Sea on steroids.
With Jason Statham.
With the stave. This movie was made for me.
Yes.
I think it just me. I think this movie was made for just me, and I'm okay with that.
Oh, man. You talked about that Johnny Knoxville movie that had been in front of a lot of movies. I feel like I've seen the trailer for Alpha there's, a ton
there's,
as well.
I don't think I've seen the trailer, but the Austin Town Movie Theater, the one I go to the most, has had a poster of it. I think probably not exaggerating, about 3 years. Like, they've had like a stand-up of this Alpha movie for a long, long time.
Well, you're not going to have to wait too much terribly longer. You've already waited basically an ice age to get it. But it will be in theaters on August 17th, directed by Albert Hudges, starring Cody Smit-McPhee, Lenore Varela, and Natasha Malth. People try and survive the Ice Age, and it's kind of the origin story of man's best friend and that relationship with the dog.
Yeah. I'll see Meg again that week instead.
Or you could go see Rupert Wyatt's Captive State, starring Vera Farmiga, Ben Daniels, and John Goodman, set 10 years after an alien occupation of Chicago and the Roseanne reboot.
I haven't seen anything from it. This one might be. It's 10 years after an alien invasion, and it does tell both sides of the people rebelling and the people that are going along with it. It could be interesting, but I'll have to wait and see. Jury's still out. I need more from this. I do like Rupert Wyatt, though. Don't I? I like Rupert Wyatt, right?
Do you think he's somebody else?
He was... Who directed the first Apes movie? It was Rupert Wyatt, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Yeah. I like him enough. And he...
That was a cool sci-fi
premise.
Yeah,
he ate Kristen Stewart out. They did that Huntsman movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good reason to like him, I guess. He broke up, you know, America's couple, but that's fine. Also in wide release that week is John M. Chu's Crazy Rich Asians, starring some Asians. Constance Wu, Michelle Yeoh, Henry Goldring, Gemma Chan, and there's that lady again, Awkwafina. Three rich Chinese families prepare for the wedding to top all of the Meg of weddings, so to speak.
I mean, it looks like standard rom-com, but yeah. It's an entirely Asian cast, which is good. I like going to a movie theater and seeing posters that don't just all look the same and trailers that aren't just all white dudes, you know? And it's just like, I like getting more people out there. I think this will do very well because we talked about John Cho, like, he doesn't have as big of a career as he probably should have given his talent. I think that audience is completely underrepresented and they don't get a ton. So I think this movie will do well.
I'm sure it will. I mean, it is a romantic comedy and by all accounts, I mean, I like enough of the cast that I'm sure it'll probably be pretty decent. A movie that you've already mentioned and I do have kind of high hopes for is Brian Henson's The Happy Time Murders, starring Elizabeth Banks, the aforementioned Melissa McCarthy, Joel McHale, Maya Rudolph. I love all of them. In a world where puppets and humans coexist, the puppets from an 80s children's television show begin getting murdered, so a puppet cop turned private eye takes on the case. This smells to me like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but for...
adults.
Yeah.
Like, it's a... I'm pretty sure it's an R-rated movie. Yeah. Like, it's a dirty... I can't wait. I haven't seen anything from it, but that cast and that premise, like, yep.
Yeah, it's going to take me all of about 3 seconds to give them my money and see it. Rounding out the week is Andrea DiStefano's 3 Seconds, starring Rosamund Pike, Joel Kinnaman, Ana de Armas, Clive Owen, and Common. An ex-con gets himself sent back to prison in order to infiltrate to the prison mob. fair enough.
Almost there.
We've got 2 weeks left, 2 movies in our second to last week, and the first of which is Jeffrey Nachmanoff's Replicas, starring Alice Eve, Keanu Reeves, and Thomas Middleditch. A scientist becomes obsessed with bringing back family members who died in a car crash, a scenario where clearly what could go wrong in this? Heed the words of Herman Munster, sometimes dead is better.
These movies... some of them are so far away that I know nothing about, and maybe I'll be excited for them when I see more, but probably not this one.
Fair enough.
Definitely not this one.
Definitely not the next one. Slim chance you'll go see Sylvian White's Slender Man, starring Joey King, Javier Botet, and Annalise Basso. It's a movie about the Slender Man. If you don't know who the Slender Man is, ask your teenage daughters. They'll tell you right before they stab you to death.
Slender Man is this terrifying myth. It's this visually frightening thing. And he seemed scary enough on his own. The movie that they made about Slender Man seems to have like so little to do with Slender Man. Like, it doesn't look like a Slender Man movie. But it's such a cool premise and a cool dude that, like, you could make a very frightening Slender Man movie, and I feel like they just went somewhere as far away from that as you can get.
Oh, you've lost me on this. So you don't, I mean, you're down with the internet version of Slender Man?
I think there's a good
Slender Man movie
premise
to be made.
Yes, I think there's a good Slender Man movie to be made that could be terrifying, that could be frightening. Just visually, like, you think of, like, the Babadook and, like, this visual stuff. Like, Slender Man is very, very visual.
Yes.
This looks terrible. Yeah, I think Joey King was in that Wish Upon, too, and she's just morphed into this just, like, terrible main, like, studio horror movie.
Yeah, she gets put in those an awful lot. I mean, she certainly knows her way around those movies. And we have almost worked our way around the entire summer schedule. We've got one stop left, and it is August 31st, where we will start with Kin, directed by the Baker brothers, Jonathan and Josh, starring James Franco, Dennis Quaid, Zoe Kravitz, Carrie Coon, Jack Rayner, and Miles Truitt. An ex-con and his brother are on the run from a crazy criminal, the feds, and otherworldly soldiers with only a mysterious weapon to protect them.
This is one that intrigues me that I know nothing about. That cast is awesome.
Yep.
The premise is crazy nuts. Like, it just seems like it could be wild and bonkers and a perfect ending to the summer.
But I mean, I'll trust James Franco, like, not with my daughter or my sister, but, like, at this point,
no, I don't. When you're making 20 movies a year, a lot of them are going to be bad, but this one I'll see. Maybe, I mean, I need to see more of, but it's got me interested on paper.
Speaking of capturing your interest, I mean, I think we usually, okay, well, you know, what are your most anticipated movies? And I want to just take out the superhero stuff because that's almost kind of a given. What are you looking for that we've kind of mentioned that you think is going to be maybe an under-the-radar one? It's going to be easy to fly under the radar. You're going to have movies that are making,
I think Hereditary is going to be really, really massive. Like, I think Hereditary is going to do, not massive, but I think it's going to do well.
Like, do you think it can do what A Quiet Place has done? I think that's over $125 million right now.
I think so. In the middle of the summer. Like, because there is that.
There's money.
There's that market for horror movies. I think Crazy Rich Asians is tapping into an audience that hasn't really had anything. I don't know. Like,
I mean, Happy Time Murders, I'll put in there too. It may not make
the
money.
I think I'm gonna love it.
Right,
that's one. As far as, like,
I'm excited about that.
That and The Meg, I'm really excited about. Under the Silver Lake, I'm excited for. And Sorry to Bother You. Like, those are probably the ones I'm most excited.
Those are that's kind of,
like,
what
non-superhero
I was, right,
ones.
That's kind of what I was looking for. Is not necessarily your tentpole stuff. Like, okay, if you get shut out of seeing Avengers or Solo or whatever, like, what else, you know, can you be looking for?
I think The Spy Who Dumped Me will make some money.
Yeah,
like, I think it's in that it's people are winding down and trying to, you know, kind of beat that heat. I think it's released at a
and
prime
spot. And
that's
one, you know, if you've made your girlfriend, I mean, my girlfriend loves superhero movies, so I don't have to worry about that. But if you've had to, you know, take the wife or whomever to see Avengers and maybe not so much The Incredibles, but kind of your more genre nerd kind of stuff, you could maybe throw them a bone. And I think you'll enjoy that one, too.
I feel like summer isn't, and it's for the better. Like, it's for the better. I feel like summer movie season isn't what it was in the past. Like, I think that year with, like, Battleship, and I think it was Battleship and Hangover 3 were the same year. Yeah. Like, I feel like that was kind of the end of just, like, we're just going to throw all this junk. Because now you're seeing a lot of movies that could be tentpoles that would generally be thrown in the middle of summer. They're being released in, like, February or March.
Yeah, I mean, Black Panther certainly could have done that.
And, you know, Hunger Games started with the March releases, and then they transitioned into November. So now, like, March is a legit blockbuster time. November is a legit blockbuster time. So Marvel's turned April into it, and then now you have May, June, July are already. August is kind of your dumping ground almost, to where you're just throwing a bunch of stuff
before
to see what sticks.
It's become
kind of what January is, where just you're just throwing all this stuff that doesn't really fit anywhere else. But I feel like we don't have as dumb of summers as we used to where every week it's an attempted tentpole. And I think that's for the better. I think the quality has gotten, even the ones that are, you know, like the Skyscraper.
Yeah.
The Rock makes watchable movies. Like, I don't...
He'll make that movie watchable.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know that there's a bomb the bombs aren't, you're not, I think we're overseeing these massive big time summer bombs because the risk isn't there. You're not, you know, spending $200 million on what you hope starts a franchise and throwing it in the middle of May where if it doesn't open to 120, it's a bomb. Like,
yeah,
you're not,
I mean,
taking that risk.
Look at the big expensive movies. I mean, Avengers is the second most expensive movie ever made. And I think that even at that price tag, the likelihood of it being successful is incredibly high. I could see people not really liking Solo. I think the Star Wars community was pretty divided the last time out, and I think people are going to put up with even less shit when it comes to a Han Solo movie who's not being portrayed by Harrison Ford. So that one I could see running into some problems, firing the directors, basically everything that could have gone wrong in a Star Wars movie.
Until Kennedy proves me, and like until, like, I trust Kathleen Kennedy, and I think that's, I didn't mention her, but like, you know, Rogue One went through all that crap.
Yeah.
I thought Rogue
and
One
it was
amazing. Fantastic. I love Rogue One. So, like, I like Last Jedi despite everything. Like, maybe I'm a different Star Wars fan than a lot of people, but, like, they have to prove me wrong before I lose that faith in them. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, they're at where I'm at with Marvel now. Like, Marvel could put out a Squirrel Girl movie, and I'd be excited for it, you know, although that's legit because I do love Squirrel Girl. But, I mean, I just, yeah, I'll see a lot of movies this summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's already been a good year for movies.
I'm seeing more movies than I'm used to, than usual. So I'm excited for our
and there have been
show.
Good movies to see, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that trend is going to continue. You know, let us know what movies you're excited about. You can, maybe you can't get Dave because he's going to be in the theater with his phone turned off, but you can get us moviesonup@gmail.com or you can tweet at us @moviesonup. Let us know what you're looking forward to. And if you see something this summer, you know, let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts on The Meg because you know what Dave's are going to be. You probably have a good guess of what our thoughts are going to be about next week's movie, The Avengers Infinity War. We're going to do a very timely discussion of that. It's almost going to be
extremely timely.
Yeah, immediate reactions from both Dave and I seeing it. Probably a lot of fanboying, I would imagine. We like the Avengers movies. We like the Russo brothers, good Northeastern Ohio young men. So that's next week. If you haven't seen it by the time next week comes around, probably stay pretty clear of that, as I'm sure there's going to be spoilers.
And then the week after that, our 6-year anniversary show
will be something.
Yeah,
it'll still
in the works.
It's
even
under wraps.
We're recording next week since this is live, but until then, we're excited for the summer. We'll see you next week. Enjoy Avengers, and until then,
keep it up.